starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. Living with each other, 'cause the future will soon be in their hands. Watching the crows, they follow our steps. If we do right, I'm sure they'll understand.
Hello, this is Deanna Spingola. This is Spingola and Friends. Welcome to the program. We usually don't have a program on Tuesday, but today, well, we're having one. It is Tuesday, October 14th, 2014. This is, as I mentioned, Deanna Spingola. This program does not have any corporate sponsors. Therefore, we are free to discuss controversial topics that you might not hear on other programs. My website is spingola.com. There you will find information about my three books, the Ruling Elite series, as well as a timeline of book 2 and 3. Please also visit the website of a dear friend and listener who has created this wonderful website, and he maintains it. And I so appreciate his efforts. And that website is spingolaspeaks.wordpress.com. All the more recent audio files of my programs are at that site, including the RBN audio files, the American Free Press files, and, of course, the audio files of this program. My Twitter account is twitter.com/Deanna Spingola. We will be taking calls and comments from the listeners via my email, which is comment@spingola.com, as well as questions via the telephone, 646-787-1915, and, of course, from the chat room, which is spingola.chatango.com. I will again be hosting for my good friend Clint Richardson tonight on RBN, and that is from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time, so I hope that you will join me then. My guest today for this program is Karen Quinn Tostado. Her website is UnitedWeStrike.com. Karen, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Deanna. I am very happy to be here.
We have not chatted for such a long time.
I know. I know.
I don't know where the time goes. It just...
Yes, that is the problem, and I feel such a sense of urgency now, Deanna, but at the same time... In a sense, one of helplessness in the fact that I can't control other people and I am unable as yet to actively convey and ignite the same righteous indignation and moral outrage that I feel on a daily basis. And so I tried for years. The last time I talked to you was with a strike, and I found, unfortunately, to my great chagrin, that people are just about as afraid of the word strike as the corporations. And the corporations are the ones who really are afraid of the strike, because just like in the that cartoon character, what was it, Ants, where the grasshoppers discovered that there were so many more ants, you know, you couldn't let them unite. You couldn't let them work together. You have to deny them, like back in the times of Rome, where there was one senator who wanted to put a black armband on the slaves so they would be easily recognized, and he was quickly outvoted because they realized there were so many slaves that they wouldn't stand a chance. But our ability to follow and the training we've had throughout our entire lives in obedience and in religious dogmas that divide us and teach us to die before we gain any rewards have subverted us so completely that many of us still do not understand the depth and the width and the breadth of the scope of these monumental, horrendous crimes that the evil, lying, inbred, traitorous eugenicists, who prefer to be called elite, have put us in.
Right. Yes. And we are. There are more of us than there are of them. And yet, as you say, people are afraid because, well, for one thing, because they're ignorant. They don't understand. Many of them don't even understand there's an issue, or they can't. They cannot identify the issue, and many of them are distracted with, well, various things, sports and television, and just trying to put food on the table, and taking their kids to soccer, and all of the above, and they know something is wrong, but they think that it's going to get better with the next election, or maybe the one after that, or maybe if there's something that they can do, get a part-time job to make ends meet. There's all these things, but they don't really look at who the responsible party is. They just don't identify them. And partially, I think, because, of course, is the media and our training. We've all been indoctrinated. We've all gone to the government schools. We've all been to obedience training, and we're all kind of, well, a little bit afraid.
We are afraid, but I'll tell you one thing, Deanna, I am no longer afraid. I am so outraged at what's going on. And the more that I looked around, especially, I mean, we choose to call ourselves civilized people, and we're not. This is the Dark Ages still. These are the Dark Ages. We are murdering now exponentially. And we have allowed our misrepresentatives, again, those evil, lying, inbred, traitorous eugenicists. How do you like that for elite?
Sure.
But we've allowed them to...
I see what you... Okay.
The acronym for elite.
Right.
Lying, inbred, traitorous eugenicists.
Duh. I have been up for several hours. I should be awake by now.
That's all right. But isn't that accurate?
Sure. Absolutely, it's accurate. Yep.
And when we say civilized, you know, civilized people don't solve their arguments by allowing their children to be sent off to fight wars for central banking. People who are civilized are accountable. And that's why there are things that we can do immediately. And I think that in terms of getting the bigger picture, I try to make it simple. And at the same time, I'm a very spiritual person. I've been through Catholicism was my original religion that my father was extremely steeped into. And he would tell you that the only people going to heaven were the Catholics. And from a very young age, I could never believe that. And I always questioned, always, and got in quite a bit of trouble for it. But I would not change that. And I have a mind of my own, and I think for myself. And I realized, too, that in my entire life, I've always felt kind of out there. I haven't felt like I really fit in. And now I understand that it is because most of the people around me, they are too busy to look deeper, and I've had the opportunity to do that and have been absolutely horrified at what I found. It's not something that I wanted to ever learn, but once you do know the truth, you can't go back. And one of the biggest truths is that I am a truther and proud of it. And I'm also an anarchist. I no longer believe in leaders. I believe in administrators. I believe in rotating positions. I believe in equality. And that we are all here by divine right. And the lies of religion, especially the ones who teach us to wait until after we die, are some of the biggest disservices ever done to mankind. I have been going back and forth and reading a little bit into John Lash's book. And one thing that he does say, which is pretty interesting, you know, a lot of people think that the Gnostics and the pagans were all out and they were sacrificing humans. And exactly, they weren't. But the Christians sure were, you know, and when people talk about...
We still are.
Yes. And when people say just automatically, oh, well, this country, America, was founded on Christian values. It's like, okay, well, so that means rape, theft, murder, genocide, Those are the Christian values, unfortunately, that have been embraced all throughout the ages. And it's time to call a spade and to understand that no one should be born in debt because we are all created by that same divine essence. And it has been so perverted and divided up that we would rather kill each other and sacrifice our entire lives with rituals and meetings and bowing and ring-kissing and confessing than stand on our own two feet, take a few steps back, breathe the air, and decide to live our lives for ourselves.
And that is not a selfish thing to do. It's not a selfish objective. Because in doing that, you're taking care of your family. You're taking responsibility for your actions upon yourself. And not going along with the crowd. Not going to the recruiting office when the government says, oh, we've got to go to wherever they want us to go to. And absolutely, it's not being selfish at all.
No, and when I say anarchy, to address a comment in here, that simply means that I don't believe in rulers. And the comment, you are never free in anarchy, too busy trying to protect your private property if you have any, that's a false statement. That's propaganda, Deanna's fan, that you have, that you think that makes sense because we're brought up to not believe in anarchy. They twist words just like they twist truther. But however, anarchy simply means these other concepts that I really want us to explore, and then I'll get into what I'm doing with the banking. But self-ownership, when you truly understand that we are here by divine right, then each and every one of us is an expression of a greater source. And as much as I would like to say I know what that source is, I don't. And at 62 years old, I've looked my whole life for inner peace. And I have more of it now than I ever have. And it's through, I believe I own myself. Now, yes, I live in a society where I'm forced to pay bribes and where I'm stolen from, and they call it legal. But I own myself, and I respect the fact that everyone else owns them, themselves, and that still that underlying essence is the same. I respect that in myself. I respect that in others. It's one of the reasons why I sign all my emails, Namaste. You know, the God in me honors and respects the God in you. Self-ownership. I fully embrace that concept. What say you, Diana, on self-ownership?
Well, of course, I'm for that. I believe in taking responsibility for myself. And I've always been kind of the black sheep and the loner and not anyone that joined the crowd. I'm perfectly happy being by myself and being alone with my thoughts. I don't have to be with other people in order to feel comfortable. And it's kind of amazing that not amazing, but even when I was a kid, as a 12-year-old kid, when I first started making my own clothes, I did that more because I didn't want to dress like anybody else. I never went along with the crowd. Whatever they were doing didn't have anything to do with me. And in fact, one time I attended this party that, you know, when you're young marrieds and people have house parties, they have jewelry parties, they have clothing parties, you know, Tupperware parties, that kind of nonsense. And I bought this outfit. And I thought, well, that's really cute. It's really different, even though I wasn't used to buying clothes. And I went downtown the next day. I lived in a very small town. And across the street, I saw somebody that had the exact same outfit on. I went home. I took it off, and I sent it back because I didn't want anybody. Well, I just wasn't going to have it. That just wasn't me.
There you go. You're being yourself. Well, and self-ownership also means that I take responsibility for where I am and my choices. And along with my husband, you know, my responsibility is to our marriage. And even though we did go through the vows now that I don't know We would have if we had known more about how you're also contracting with the government. But that is first. And I have always had a very, very strong sense of morality. So along with self-ownership, voluntary cooperation is something we also need to embrace. These differences that we see between us, many of them are manufactured or manufractured. We live in a manufactured world, and I think we need to frack back. But when you volunteer and you cooperate with people for the greater good, you can accomplish much more. Darwin's theory of survival of the fittest was not, I repeat, not the way that it has been proven, because species coexist and they last much longer. I think he was only in the Galapagos for like 3 weeks, and it's still called a theory. And yet the people with the money, who always have been in charge, who have edited every single solitary book that they've allowed to be written on history and on religions, unless you can find a copy that was, you know, like the Dead Sea Scrolls, you have to be part of their little clique or they will murder you. Mm-hmm. And that should be so clear. So if we embraced self-ownership, voluntary cooperation, non-aggression, simply think about what you are angry with someone for, and if it's their religious beliefs, why should you be? Why aren't they allowed to make their own connection, to plug in their own divine umbilical cord? We've all got one. And as long as harm, injury, or loss has not occurred, there is no crime. And this is another real sticky point for so many people. But I tell you, I have had extensive conversations with people who are extremely scholarly. I have the utmost respect for Clint Richardson, but he one time told me that I couldn't be free because I didn't understand the definition and I hadn't read it in X volume over here. And many people think that, and that you have to go into court and you have to fight them on their own ground. And I say, these tables have been turned for so many years, it's totally corrupt. And I learned from you, Deanna, before I met you, I found some of your articles when I was still putting information into taxfree15.com, which has since morphed into unitedwestrike.com, although I guess some of it's still out there. But I remember, and I believe it was from the meeting with Adam Weishaupt, where they had all these principles, and one of them that they were going to do is they were going to give us the illusion of choice through dividing up political parties, but sure, that would keep us busy and distracted so that we wouldn't see the hidden hand in the background. And so voting is an exercise in futility. It is the very addition of insanity, because every time we vote, we get the same results. And I just heard, I don't know if you're familiar with Susan Lindauer, are you?
Yes, I've had her on my program.
I heard her the other day speaking about how she has it on good authority, and so it makes sense to me that every politician who comes into power has to first sign an allegiance to Israel, which is the most extreme form of racism on the planet, and yet we still allow it. And in the face of...
I don't know whether they have to do that in a formal way, but they certainly have done that by their actions. And there was the letter that 300 of the Congress critters wrote to then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, saying that they totally supported Israel, but it's simply by their actions rather than some sort of formal agreement. So I don't know where she saw this, or if she saw this, or how she would assume that that is the case. But you can tell that is the case simply by their behavior and their actions, and it certainly is not a new concept, but has been the case for a very, very long time, at least since the inception of the Israeli state.
And all of that, when you go back and you look at World War I and World War II, and you look at this Israeli agenda, because I'm going to call it that now as well, it is absolute insanity. And it mm-hmm. is insane that we would have our misrepresentatives, our traitorous bribed politicians, standing up there and voting to send more weapons, in unanimously voting white phosphorus, flechette bullets, which are criminals. I mean, it's their war crimes. They voted to send money over there, and instead they turn the water off in Detroit for poor people in Detroit. No water for you, and yet our government also then is simultaneously human trafficking. They're gun running, they're drug running, there is absolutely no morality whatsoever, and we are being led by lying psychopaths who are not transparent at all, but who are totally in the pocket of the too big to fails. And so when I go back again, because I want to tie in the bit about, okay, anarchy, you'd be too busy trying to protect your property.
Okay, so you're in the chat room, so just so the listeners understand where you got the anarchy comment, we do have a chat room, and certainly all the listeners are invited to participate in the chat room, and you may do that at spingola.chattango.com, and feel free to chime in with your opinions and whatnot. And I think, getting back to what we think about words, sometimes, yes, sometimes it is an issue with understanding what a word means to one person as opposed to what it means to someone else. But I think we can all agree that they keep us so distracted, so busy, and even, as you mentioned, the whole idea of voting for either part, right, left, conservative, liberal, I mean, it's all one great big group, and they work together. They go out and have drinks together after pretending to battle each other over a particular issue. And it was not set up. The Constitution, the Articles of Confederation, none of that was set up with a two-party system. None of it. And sometimes there is a third party, but guess what? Guess what? The third party is usually orchestrated in order to give the vote to one of the other two main parties. And I'm thinking of Ross Perot. I worked at the campaign office for Ross Perot, and I really thought that there was an opportunity. I also was active in the Ron Paul at his campaign office. And gosh, it didn't work out in either case. And I thought, wow, something's wrong here. And I did look into the Ross Perot thing. And, I mean, he got most of his money through government contracts. Of course, when it came time for somebody to come forward with a legitimate, rational-sounding these campaign promises. And I remember he said, well, he was against NAFTA, as was the entire – so many people in the country were against NAFTA. And he told us exactly what NAFTA was going to do, but he didn't have a chance in heck to win the election. But it served purpose. It served purpose, and of course NAFTA was part of the deal. Both of the major parties endorsed NAFTA, wanted it. So here we are.
I haven't voted now for years. The last time I voted was for Kerry, and I did not know that he was a member of Skull and Bones at the time, because that's another huge area we miss. We're not looking at the secret societies that they belong to, nor the oaths that they take that are in direct conflict with a public office. And I don't believe at all anymore in wasting time there. What I believe in, again, is self-ownership, voluntary cooperation, non-aggression, and communities working together. Now, when I say non-aggression, people are worried about how will you protect your property. Well, self-ownership means that we all have the right to be protected. That means that every one of us can have a weapon, a firearm, and other ways of protecting ourselves. Real schools would teach us how to hunt and fish and build our houses out of the earth and not take down the earth's lungs in terms of wiping out these forests or strip mining. None of that would happen if we truly decided to be good and moral stewards of this planet that we're born on. So with the non-aggression, if there is a member of the community, because we don't need this big globalist agenda. This is for a few people to make money off of all of us and to force their rules down our throats. What we need our small thriving communities where we interact, where we barter, where we trade. And if there is a person within the community who chooses to cause harm, injury, or loss, they will be held accountable right then and there by the people who are involved and by a group of people who will rotate but go for the highest good.
Sure.
If it is proven that harm, injury, or loss has occurred, the perpetrator will immediately be made to repair what damage he has done to the victim, not to this arbitrary mass of, okay, well, it just goes into this account over here and, you know,
sure,
I'll buy a bigger bathroom for my Senate office later.
Sure.
Instead, we take care of it right then and there. Now, if the person absolutely refuses to go along, if there's nothing mentally wrong with him, it's just he's got a huge attitude and he's a danger, then he will be not really a common law court, but more like that, yes. Yes, where we have common sense. Come on, we have so many victimless crimes now. According to my friend Charles Irwin, and it makes sense to me, 1 year after we supposedly won the Revolutionary War, which I don't think we won anyway, or we wouldn't have been in debt.
Right.
I mean, yeah, when do the winners of war suck up the debt? Oh, yeah, in the case of America, who never was free. And 1 year later, the King George sends over 100 legal advisors to take us out of common law and common sense and put us into these fracking statutes, which is where we remain today, with your victimless crimes and with police simply in arm protecting a bank, which has become so obvious now, and they're above the law, and we've got this huge division, and yet they are our children and husbands and wives and fathers. And we so need to have family conversations about compartmentalization and what we are truly here for. And in my opinion, it is not a just over broke job. A job should be the joy of being creatively who you are and what you can bring to the table as an instrument through which this divine essence experiences itself and life. And there's so much about ourselves and our environment and quantum physics and water that we do not yet understand, but we are being poisoned on every level. So if you've got an individual within the community who chooses to randomly commit violence and to cause harm, then he's ostracized. He is an outlaw. He is outside the law, which means that he has forfeited his rights. If he wants to behave like a rabid animal, he will be treated as such. And everyone will be armed. And once he's classified as an outlaw, if they find his body somewhere out on the street, well, I'm sorry that that happened, but he will not endanger the rest of the people, and he's got to pay for his own actions. And there will be people who are related to the victim or possibly the victim himself who will take their own retribution. And I don't see anything wrong with that, because while I am not for violence, I definitely am for honorable
justice.
Defense.
Justice,
which is,
too.
And honorable defense is the next on my list. Honorable defense. Our children are being ravaged and raped and mind-controlled and vaccinated and poisoned and murdered by these psychopaths and brainwashed. The lies of global warming and overpopulation, the massive chemtrails that are dropping now in the forest here, Deanna. I've been taking hikes now for 3 years, and I have never seen such devastation. These chemicals that you can, I don't know if you, do you know Kristen Megan?
No, I don't.
Oh, Kristen Megan is just, she was in an environmental, I think she was in the Air Force, and her job, basically, she was a top environmental specialist to make sure that things coming into their base were not toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And she was absolutely shocked and horrified when she did discover that, yes, the Air Force is bringing in barium, aluminum, strontium, other things that are put in chemtrails that are the lines that go all the way across the sky that do not dissipate. When you and I grew up, Deanna, they were contrails, and the condensation from the water made them dissipate. They did not stay and hang in the air. But these that go across all the time, Oregon is heavily chemtrailed. These are toxic chemicals, and they are desiccants. And not only do they pull the water out of the forest and the trees and cause them other harm and damage, they pull the water out of our own bodies. And the forest now in the 3 years that I've been walking through. Last winter we had some storms that had, quite a bit of wind. And there's so much dry timber and rotting wood that isn't taken care of. Another Agenda 21 program of getting it all up, not taking care of our planet, that any match here in this neighborhood is unfortunately going to go up because it's cumulative and because we don't look up and because too many of us think that living our lives as usual, paying our bills, is somehow going to make a difference, and it isn't. Every day that we live our lives as normal is another day that more of us, more of our brothers and sisters, are murdered overseas on our money. Bombs shouldn't even exist in a civilized society. All of this fractured, manufactured profit over people would never stand in a truly civilized world.
Exactly. Sure. And when you were talking about the dryness of the forest and everything, made me think of the horrific fire in California just recently, which was just absolutely terrible. I was talking to my brother every Saturday, and he lives in Nevada, and he was telling me you could see the smoke from these fires, and I would get this report. I'm just absolutely terrible. Just absolutely terrible. It breaks my heart.
Because we don't know, and we don't look, and too many of us have not seen also the great work that was done by Michael Murphy. You know,
right.
And these are cumulative.
Sure. Yeah, so, I've had him on my program several times.
Yeah, and it gets, so it sucks up more. And I noticed for the first time, too, this last summer in my garden, that it had rained for a few days, and I went out, and I think it was the next day or maybe one day later, and it had rained enough to where the dirt should have been wet, and it wasn't, and I needed to water again. So here is something, too, and when you look also at the United States in their own documents, they want to own the weather by 2025.
Mm-hmm.
When they come out with a statement like that, you know they've been working on it, and just, I believe it was earlier this year, someone from NASA came on and was talking and said that they've given up on HAARP right now because their original objective was to own the ionosphere, and they had done that.
Mm-hmm.
And we ignore that. So there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of compartmentalized people who are working against their own futures each and every day. They go to work, and they allow their money to be stolen by these banks for these Wall Street crimes and for murder. Murder is immoral. And to allow someone to convict on simply their whim or, oh, well, I think he's a terrorist, so let's send this drone to bomb a wedding party in Pakistan. You
right.
know, we have psychopaths who are running this plant. Hillary Clinton is one of the worst. Her laughing at the death of Gaddafi, who previously was her good buddy, should show she is a psychopath. And it's time that we face them down and that we understood, and I mean truly understood, that as much as we would like to know where we go when we die, we don't. And also, remember, you guessed it with me in December, I think, of 2012, and I was talking to Joseph Atwill, who made a huge impact on me. Yes, because all of his research points to the fact that actually Jesus was a creation of the Romans to control the Jews and did not even exist.
That was his opinion. And in fact, he had a debate with, who do you have a debate with? But I'm not into deciding, you know, that question, but I do believe in a superior being. I do not believe that Jesus was a Jew. He was not part of the tribe of Judah, and I tend to think that people who attempt to destroy religion, and you see it in the media every single day in various TV programs and radio programs about the destruction of religion, so that people what they're actually giving, what they're actually destroying is values. Values so that we will, so that the people, I won't say we, but so that the masses will accept, will have no values and will therefore act, well, like a bunch of animals. And so I am certainly not willing to suggest that Jesus didn't exist or it was a creation of the Roman Empire or whatever, because there are millions of people who believe in Jesus, who believe in a superior being, and because of that belief system, they are willing to act morally and just without realizing that they have, in fact, abandoned some of those values because they have transferred those values to a government that is really taking us down the road to the road of hell.
Now, I totally understand your point. My take on it at this time in my life is that we intrinsically have that divine umbilical cord, and we're connected from the time of birth. And regardless of what we choose to call, you know, whether it's God, whether it's Jesus, that it is that connection is what government tries to break.
Exactly.
And they change the names. Because one thing that I, you are more of a historian than I am, Deanna, but one thing that I did, at least to me, I think people get lost thinking they have to defend a certain name or a certain specific, okay, Muhammad was right, or it's got to be Buddha or Jesus. When instead, to me, it goes further. It is that divine umbilical cord. And I think what happens is that when we're born, they automatically begin to just yank that out and sever that connection.
Sure.
And so, but also I find it interesting, and maybe you know, but which historical writers who lived at the time of Jesus actually wrote about him instead of having it retroactively written by those who came before? And in, to me, what I learned, the biggest thing that I learned is that, because I believed in Jesus as well. Now, and I still have a very strong connection to spirit. I choose to surround myself with a white Christ light of love and protection. And whether or not the actual Jesus actually existed as a human being doesn't matter to me as much as the connection, because whatever this divine source is, it is much bigger than I am. And
sure.
I still feel very, very guided, you know, and I think that if we can actually understand we uniquely are created from this same source, that's where when we can respect it in ourselves, we can respect it in others. And instead of looking at, well, okay, all religions are being attacked. Now, definitely they're attacking the Christian religion right now.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at history and the way that we've all been lied to, and the Roman Catholic Church and all of it, you know, it's all about getting us to live within certain parameters for our entire lives on the belief that something will happen in an area that we know nothing about until we get there. And so instead of just anarchy, and instead of thinking that we're all threatened, if we began to live where we are and live our lives for ourselves and understood that, okay, we're responsible now within our community for making sure that all of us have food and shelter and water. I mean, all we really need anyway is clean air, clean water, healthy food, self-sufficient communities, and love. And we need to love ourselves enough, though, to look in the mirror and see where we have been fooled. And again, though, in my opinion, all the years we spent in rituals and bending and confessing and kissing the ring and all of these huge, elaborate things that distract us also take away from the quality of our lives now.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. I don't believe. And the point that you just made, that is a human being that whose ring people are kissing, okay? And my view of religion is not dogma or the ritual that we go through, but it is the way that we live our lives, the way that we treat each other. The demonstration of religion is love for everyone, love for the animals, love for nature, love for the earth, and in that way, because of that, then you respect all living things, including the earth. I believe that the earth is a living thing.
Yeah.
And of course, I see also, and you've mentioned this, is that corporatocracy, which became quite evident after the so-called Civil War, has infiltrated all of the churches,
mm-hmm.
has added to the dogma, has added to the... Well, who knows what it's added to, what it has done. And
Religions also teach us obedience.
Mm-hmm.
And they teach us a hierarchy, and that is instilled in it from the minute we're born. And so, again, to me, Deanna, I look back and I see how, okay, Bibles did not fall from the sky.
No, of course not.
They were written, and were written at later times. And all of it, that one thing, too, that I thought was very powerful, and let me see if I can remember the points that were made, but, Hypatia, who was living in Alexandria at the time that the Alexandria Library was still there, was a philosopher, was also a pagan, she was a teacher, and she was a Gnostic and would have these great arguments with the early Christians where she mm-hmm. would just absolutely annihilate their viewpoint because the Gnostics and the pagans and the Druids and the people, the ancient shamans had more of a connection
with nature,
the living earth, that's
right,
and could see God reflected everywhere.
In everything and in everyone.
Yes.
And that is kind of the way that I see things. And as far as the hierarchy that you talk about, I wouldn't bow down to anybody. I don't care what kind of a garment robe that he has on or hat or whatever, because I wouldn't walk across the street to see the president because as far as I'm concerned, he's no better than I am. And
he's worse.
He's a bit worse.
There are some people who are like, he's a psychopath and you're not.
Exactly. And so I don't believe in this. I think everybody has inherent value. And I think that we should all get along. We're all brothers and sisters. And I think that we should treat each other as such, that we all inhabit the planet, that we share the planet, and that we darn well better stop bombing each other at the behest of some person who has seized authority over the rest of us, whether it's a religious authority, whether it's a political authority, or whatever kind of authority, corporate authority. Who the heck are they to do that? Because that was not the way that I think it was intended. We were supposed to take care of ourselves. We were to work for our own benefit, not for the benefit of the corporations, not for the benefit of the labor unions, but for our own benefit.
There you go.
By the sweat of our brows, for our benefit and for our family's benefit. Not to hand over the product of our labor to somebody else that just sat back and did nothing.
The joy of being, that should be a job, J-O-B, the joy of being creatively mm-hmm. who we individually are as we express ourselves for the greatest good, understanding that we are free to do what we want as long as we cause no harm, injury, or loss, period. And so when we are talking about, okay, Hypatia, that one of the big things that they completely ridiculed was the fact of a paternistic father figure, a male without a female counterpart who spawned the whole thing. They thought mm-hmm. that was a ridiculous assumption. They also thought it was ridiculous and very, very, you know, destructive.
Chauvinistic.
Yeah, but that this God would create a son to come down here who had to die for him. I never could buy into that. That is just To me, that's a God who has every single solitary power available would have to be, in my opinion, a psychopath to put his son through this kind of bull crap if he could have stopped it. And I think also that the idea of penance and a chosen people, those were also very much laughed at and ridiculed by Hypatia and the people of her time, because the idea of penance and human suffering justifies human sacrifice. And that is what we're doing now in these days of the modern-day Colosseum, where slaughter has been turned into a spectator sport, and it is not one of my choosing. And it's time to recognize this for what it is. And when Hypatia was murdered by Christians, she was so brutally murdered that it was by Christians. She was pulled off her chariot, she was stripped, and she was literally torn apart by a mob. Oh. And if John Lash's theories are correct, they were so incensed at her logic that they actually went down to get oyster shells from the beach to come back and scrape the meat off her bones. It's horrific.
I've never heard of her, okay? So I'm going to have to do some...
Hypatia, yes. Hypatia. Look at that, and when we look at the beginnings, the true beginnings of our religions, it is cause for great concern. And also, I don't know whether or not you are familiar with this as yet, but there are pyramids that have been discovered in the Crimea that are 65 million years old.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that do to the histories that we've been taught to revere?
Sure.
And also, when you understand that even back then, the Romans were horrible and very cruel, and why would they allow anything to be printed that didn't fit in with their dogma at the time?
Sure.
You know? So there are so many things that we don't know, but the one thing that I do know is that we are murdering each other, and we've got to face down the darkness in ourselves. We have to look in the mirror, and we also have to wake up, and as horrifying and almost debilitating as it is to face what is going on, we must understand that war has been declared upon the people since time began, and they are wiping us out, and they are pitting us against each other.
Absolutely.
But we are the ones putting on the uniforms. Here's another thing that I totally do not understand. Our children are lied into the military by recruiters who get bonuses. And then our children are taken from us, and now it's more like an economic draft. They're taken and they are put through the trauma-based mind control of boot camp, where they are totally stripped of their individuality, they're stripped of their inner knowing, and they are turned into human robotic drones to be sent out to torture and to murder. And any time you drop a bomb on sleeping people, it is a war crime. It is immoral. It should never happen. None of our money should go to bombs. Our money should be going to clean up Fukushima. I was listening the other day. Dr. Richard Allen Miller said that in Fukushima now, around that prefecture, that 27% of all the children there have thyroid issues. We're ignoring that. We're ignoring the ongoing BP Gulf massacre. We are born in debt. What kind of civilized society would allow their children to be born in debt? Well, debt slaves would. Brainwashed people would. And as much as I believe it's time to really pull up that honorable defense, there is so much that needs to be defended. Our water is being polluted. Our Pacific Ocean. We are seeing mass die-offs in the Pacific Ocean. Starfish are melting. Seal pups are turning up without their mothers. Otters are dying more. All of these whales, conjoined whales, a lack of birds. We are living in a dying planet, and yet we're so focused on murdering each other and paying off these fracking banksters that were caught. And that's why for so long I wanted people to understand our far greater numbers can reverse things immediately, but people are afraid to strike because government has turned strike into a bad word, because government sends in their paid mercenaries. Policemen are mercenaries. All military are mercenaries. The Pinkertons were mercenaries.
Oh, absolutely.
And they send,
absolutely.
They send them in to protect profit, because the last thing they want is for us to walk away from so many of our jobs that are meaningless. Working at Halliburton ought to be a war crime. Working at Monsanto ought to be a crime against humanity. You know, having jobs where you call people up to collect money from them, from debts you think they owe, while ignoring the murder in Gaza, where I think now it was over 3,000 Palestinians died and 66 fracking Israelis.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So it's...
And we don't hear about 3,000, but we hear about... Well, it all started with three supposed Israeli kids that were killed, when in fact that was just a... it was a story. It was a lie. Go ahead.
Oops. Sorry, I didn't know. All of it is a lie.
Sure it is.
You know, during our whole... just like this Ebola scare, I mean, and the rules and the regulation. We're not here, as Howard Zinn said, because of civil disobedience. We're here because of civil obedience.
Mm-hmm.
And we are completely selling ourselves out. And actually,
sure.
What I'd like to do now, if you will indulge me, is to read, this is like the final straw, because I stepped back from the United We Strike marathons too during this, the abomination of the Gazan massacre. I have wanted for so long to try and find that aha, you know, that would spark the human spirit, because we're capable of it. And
right.
I'm an artist as well, and I would like to share... This is what came through me then. Today I weep for Palestine. Today I weep for peace. Today I weep for all of us, and that these wars will cease. For still we will not focus and cut a path to truth. Our numbers are like locusts, yet we sacrifice our youth to the whims of politicians pimped out by the dollar. Corrupted corporations, hidden RF chips our collar. Correspondents and the media spin their web of lies, EMFing all the airwaves so we won't realize the chemicals they're spraying overhead in all our skies. GMOs and Fukushima are ways they realize their goal of taking power is they teach us all to hate each other so damn badly. We take jobs and exterminate each other's wives and daughters, each other's sons and fathers. The innocent are slaughtered because we can't be bothered. Not now. I have my children to pick them up from schools and take them to their choir as they sing, "We're all the fools for thinking that our families' lives are not at stake when we ignore state murder and our morality forsake." Marie Antoinette lost much more than just her appetite. What are greater numbers for than setting things to right? Imagine what would happen if united we all strike. Imagine what would happen if united we all strike.
Now, do you have that on your website somewhere? That is just absolutely provocative, profound, artistic.
Well, thank you.
Very poetic. That's wonderful. Where is it?
Sorry, it's on the website, but I share the website here. They put a recent player on now that goes on automatically.
Right. I noticed that. I had to shut that off right away.
Apologies for that. Yeah, we had the other kind. I really don't like, so I'm going to have to talk to them about putting on a begin and end. I pay for the website still, but Matt Navarro has taken over the marathons. And
That
was Detlef. Here I will give you the link in the chat room. It's to my blog page where I post a lot of things. I've been writing for years. I am an artist and a singer and a lyricist, and actually I am
what's
artist.
Here we go.
So there you. That's it. But if you go to the page, it's going to give you some volume. So
yeah.
Maybe they could save it for later. But I. I felt it so much that it made me sick. And the last United We Strike marathon that I participated in was in June.
Uh-huh.
I had stepped back from promoting. My husband and I paid for it for like.
Are you there? Whoops. What happened to our guest? Okay. All righty. Let's see. Okay, we've lost our guest. There's a problem with the call. They're trying to get it back. And hopefully we will get back. Are people hearing me? Can you hear me? Somebody in the chat room, let me know if I'm still on. Because there is a problem. There's a problem with the call. And they are trying to get Karen back with us. And hopefully we'll be patient because they are trying to get the call back. Once in a while, we do have problems with Skype. And she can call in to Skype. In fact, let me just tell her. Let me text her. And ask her to call into the program so that maybe she can, hang on just a sec, and I will do that, get her to call into the program at our number, and that number is 646-787-1915, and anyway, hopefully she will see the text message, the text message in Skype, and she can call into the program. And if anybody would like to call in and make any comments, that would be quite welcome also. And that number is 646-787-1915. And thus far, we're still having problems. Okay, she is gone, but so hopefully she will see the number. Okay, she said the web is down, been cut off. Her internet is down. Maybe let's see if she's got a cell phone that she could use to call in and see if we can get her back. Okay, she says it looks like it is coming back. We shall see here. Let me see if I can add her to the group call. Okay, I'm trying to add her to the group call. And hopefully she will pick up.
I'm here.
It must have been something you said, right?
I hope so.
Good.
I really hope so. I was on a roll there.
Yes, well, I love your poem. That's it's very profound, very, very accurate. I too am kind of an artist in many respects, and I used to write poetry all the time, and so I really appreciate meaningful poetry, not just that was very meaningful to me.
Well,
and something else that you said that is also very, very close to my heart. You said that talking about the sea life and talking about the birds and talking about half of the animal life on the planet no longer exists. We're talking about overall life, animal life on the planet. And I love creatures. I love animals. I am not afraid of any animal. I feel a kinship with animals. I hate to see animals in the zoo.
Yes.
I feel a kinship with them. I know this is going to sound really bizarre, but I feel like they know that I am their friend.
Now, may I ask you, are you a vegetarian?
No.
That's what I'm dealing with as well. I know that they are sentient beings, and I just wish they weren't so damn tasty and I hadn't been trained my whole life to eat them, because I would not willingly be able to do that. You know, possibly fish.
I would not eat a factory farm animal.
Right, there you go. We have to draw our line somewhere. We do get local produce, and I buy organic when I can. And I didn't know that you wrote poems as well. I have more on my blog page. People can scroll back. And actually, I am some of my prayers are melodies. Maybe I'll sing one, a quick one for you later if you'd like.
Okay. Yeah.
But I have a friend who is, a couple friends who are possibly putting some music to some of my lyrics, because I have always been in love with music. When my mother was pregnant, the first time it was with me, and she played a stand-up bass in a group called the Lariettes with her sister down in Las Vegas, and she could feel me moving around, so I was exposed to music early. And my earliest memory of my mother is decorating a Christmas tree when I had to be about 3 and standing on my tiptoes to look at the chair of the box of ornaments to choose the next one to put on the tree while singing Christmas carols. And I sang melody back at that young age, and she would do the harmony. So it's I've always been attracted to music, and I always, back 100 years ago, I thought I was going to be the next Linda Ronstadt, and that some of the lyrics that were in my music, actually people would find themselves, you know how a hit song, you kind of start singing along with the words, and even though they're nonsensical, it's kind of fun. And other times you sing with the words and they touch your heart. And I want that. I want it to touch people's hearts, because actually I call myself now a heartist. I work with crystals. I've created another little job for me to do locally, which I feel very blessed. But I put a lot of heart into what I'm doing. And now that I realize, you know, we're more than just these solid beings who are supposed to only live, you know, X amount of years, and then, you know, focus all of our lives while we're down here as to what could be in the future. I'm thinking we really are living in a third dimension right here and right now that we know so little about, and we've allowed our politicians to turn it into the third dimension.
Sure.
And it's time to clean up our act and focus right here on what we can do, because too many of our ideologies as well keep us living to die and thinking that if we perform the rituals and if we do kiss the ring and if we tithe and we do all the rest of this, that that will work. And instead, I see that as a huge disservice to way too many people who forego their lives now. And the ones who do that and who are on bended knee and who go to church every morning and say the rosary and all the rest of it, if they haven't done anything in terms of really trying to make a difference in their immediate world and to leave that a better place, but if they've relied on God, then to me, if I were the landlord of the universe, you know, and somebody got there and said, hey, yeah, I'm ready for the penthouse now, I'd say, wait just a minute.
Well, there is an analogy. There is the story of the talents in the New Testament, where you are given talents. And we think of that, at that time, talents meant money. But to me, they mean inherent gifts that were given that we are expected to use and to develop. And if we don't develop those gifts, and we think that we're just going to wait around and be obedient and not really develop ourselves, our talents, the things that God has given to us, I just don't see how we're going to be able to to feel good about ourselves or to get any big rewards if we've just come down here and sat around on our duff and not developed ourselves, both spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, and in every way that we can. Because I think that our bodies, our minds, our emotions, those are all things that we need to develop to the fullest, which you have done with your poetry, your creativity. I think that all of us should be doing that. If we can develop our writing skills, our music skills, or our artistic skills, so that we can enhance the lives of other people. I think that is what we're supposed to be doing.
And our own lives, moral
Sure.
stewardship, and that is where we have completely dropped the ball in terms of self-ownership, voluntary cooperation, non-aggression, especially honorable defense and moral stewardship. Mm-hmm. We have been trained out of those, but we have that inner Geiger counter. Mm-hmm. We all know that something is wrong. And so that's where, after years of trying to speak out, and with the United We Strike, I wanted to make that point that the last marathon I participated in, pretty much the goal of taking action on the 15th had been dropped, you know. And if we cannot stand together at least one day a month and drop profit, if we cannot unite shoulder to shoulder as people, I unfortunately believe we are lost.
Okay, tell the listeners about United We Strike. And I clicked on your blog, which started another audio, so
yeah.
I didn't want to do that, so I just went out of that. But I am going to go to United. I'm going to visit United We Strike again, and I'm going to quickly turn off that audio so that it will not interrupt our conversation here. Wait, what? Whoops.
Yeah. Well, I realize Detlef has really been a star here in terms of getting to the I was able to do it. So here I'll be able to read the mission statement to everyone. But he's broadcasting right now in German, and
okay.
He broadcasts every Tuesday and Thursday. So that's what we're getting. But okay, the mission statement at United We Strike, and actually it needs to be updated too for the marathon I see, because the next one is the second Saturday in November. But the mission statement is, our goal is to inspire unity and peaceful noncompliance, using our far greater numbers to resist tyranny by refusing immoral orders, in order to co-create a better world of independent, accountable individuals, fully capable of making their own decisions and living lives of peace, prosperity, and abundance, true human rights, self-ownership, voluntary cooperation, non-aggression, honorable defense, and moral stewardship. We are the instruments through which miracles flow.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And then underneath, I've also listed how strikes work, so people can go there to actually look up and see a little bit of the background, and then what we propose, which would be, I mean, imagine what would happen if we began to really network and we form teams within our own neighborhoods. The only reason that poverty exists and people are homeless in a world where homes stand empty and neglected and food is thrown out is because we have been lied to by the very people who created this system. The people who are stealing everything create poverty. This is an abundant planet, and it is actually a sin to be born in debt, or to believe you were born in sin. We are an expression of something far greater than what we have yet to realize. But unity is crucial. And instead of worrying about these big corporations and, oh gosh, if I miss a payment, then Citibank is going to get me up to 29% interest. Well, you know what? Frack that. And they can frack my debt, too.
I really like your use of the word frack. And I think I get what you're talking about.
Yeah, isn't that good? They do that on Battlestar Galactica, too. It's perfectly acceptable, and I love the way it sounds. They can frack themselves, you know? So,
all righty. This idea of striking, and you did Skype me about a week ago or so, and you you told me an experience that you had. If you wanted to share that with
I
the listeners.
I do, and
okay.
Now I'm going to try and get back to my blog page quickly enough to be able to shut off the sound. But I've been sending out emails, and I've been thinking about this for years, about how can we free ourselves. You know, this is so lame, and I've asked different people too. Okay, when you know that the banks have all been caught in fraud, what the hell are we paying them for, and can't we sue them? And so now this is from here. I'll put this in the chat room as well, because the more I thought about it and the more irritated I got, especially when we went after the innocent women and children, with a few old men and maybe young men who were trying to live in Gaza at the time, that concentration camp, and we just bombed them while we're turning off the water in Detroit. It makes me sick. And actually, I do. I call myself now a heartist, and I know you are one.
Mm-hmm.
That H&E needs to go there. We are heartists. We think with our hearts. We put our soul and our energy into it. And so I kept wondering, and I would get back things like, oh, yeah, but you got to work within the system. And this is the same. Exactly. But to me,
that's
Deanna,
not a problem.
And as well, I don't believe anymore in pieces of paper or colored metal or words written on a piece of paper by dead men and slave owners and business people I never met who had a lot of allegiances to the Queen. I mean, Franklin was over there fracking it up in Paris for years.
Sure.
I think we need to totally grow up and become adults of whatever religion we espouse.
Yes.
And also understand that whatever is waiting for us after we die will only be greatly enhanced by our cleaning up our world here and embracing, again, honorable defense.
Sure. And I wouldn't go across the street to see the Queen of England either.
You know, I have a friend, Jamie. she felt that same way as a young girl.
Mm-hmm.
She knew there was something wrong, and so she went out of her way to stay home or to walk home early from school. This one day when the Queen was driving through, she's in the UK. I was fortunate enough to make some really good friends through the United We Strike. Oh, yeah, and I still have to tell you the ending part. So she decides to walk home from school because she wants to totally avoid waving to the Queen and bowing and all the rest of it.
Yeah, I just stuck my nose at her.
Exactly. So what does she do? She's walking home, and the Queen drives by with her entourage and slows down long enough so that, you know, the Queen, thinking that she's cool and everything, rolls down the window so she can wave independently. And my friend had done all this to not have to deal with her. So back to the marathons and to the 15th, and please, listeners, if you like this idea, share it, because if we can stand together and drop profit on the same day, they will notice. And we'll know when the correspondents on the mainstream media are forced to start talking about the money that is missing. But the other people now who are involved in the marathon had just kind of morphed away from that. And so after talking about 90%, I think back then my figures were 87%, and since I've seen 90% of all deaths in war are non-combatant civilians.
Yeah.
Innocent people.
Those
9 out of 10
civilians.
People. Exactly. And so I talked about that and the necessary action that we need to take in terms of standing together, united as a people or as concerned individuals, because then you get into, what is people? What is a person? What does the Constitution say? You got to read Black's Law Dictionary. No, you got to have it over here in this dictionary. And I say, frack them all. Frack them all, just see where we are right here, right now, and start over. What would be the most important thing you would do if you woke up in the morning and you had no preconception of how it should be, and you woke up and you just took a good look at your children? Are they taking drugs? Are they fat? Are they unhealthy? Are you on drugs? How much are you reliant on crap for food and the criminals running all politics, the crap in politics? But anyway, I tried to say that. I also talked about the triple nuclear meltdown, you know, and it was just kind of, we just went on. But my ending shot, Deanna, I said, okay, so is this a New World Order or is it a Jew World Order? And there were gasps from about 3 people there, and I was floored. And then it was pretty much time to go. So I had to spend time going back and forth in emails, telling the guest of Phil Restino and Larry Pinkney, whose work I highly regard, they were upset. And so I had to let them know that while I regret that feelings were hurt, isn't it time to ask this question? And they thought it was inappropriate. And I forget what else it was, but it was the context of what I put it in. And it just occurred to me that we are so brainwashed that even asking a question like that in front of members of the most extreme form of racism on the planet garnished gasps. And yet the bigger picture of triple nuclear meltdown and 87% of war casualties being just innocent civilians, no reaction. And I realize that I've outgrown this. I cannot in good standing any longer be part of this. And so while I wish them well, now Matt pays for that, and I own the website, so I will be doing some talking about, you know, getting a different kind of player on there that doesn't just automatically assault my ears, because I think that that's also, you know, we're just attacked, we're EMF'd and we're IMF'd and everything else, but those guys, so that's part of the noise deal. But Detlef is live now, so that was a little bit of German that you heard.
I think that I met him on one of your programs when he was he was co-hosting with you on one of the strikes.
I'm sure he did, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's really, from not having a voice over there, I'm very proud of some of the things that we have been able to accomplish, because to my knowledge to this day, we truly were the first group of international people who went from Switzerland to Ireland to America and different time zones and had live people interacting and talking in order to understand that we're facing the same problems. It might be just a little different name over here, but we're just people and we're all being assaulted.
Sure.
So, and he went on, now he's got a TV program over there, and
oh,
he's got, he's kind of a big shot, and he does the radio. So
good for him.
Yeah, so he's rolling, and the others, it's, you know, I know that I also lost people through my...
Using the J word?
maybe, you know, and it's always been my goal to look for truth. And as uncomfortable...
Well, you know
as
what? I'm sorry to interrupt, but when you're looking for the truth, when you're really doing the research, you are going to find it. It's unavoidable. You will find it. And those who refuse to recognize it, to voice it, to say who it is, just are doing that deliberately. They're avoiding it so that they can remain politically correct and continue to get the contributions and to mislead the people away from who the cabal really is.
Right, and to waste our time voting. And that is, why do we want to vote for masters? There is no one on this planet, aside from my husband, whose opinion I value highly enough to think that they would override my own sense of morality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am fully capable of making a decision as to not causing harm, injury, or loss in my life at any moment, and I do not need someone with a badge or a piece of paper to come up and tell me that they have somehow superseded my own authority. Just like people like to think they own property. That's false. When some representative of a corporation can show up on your doorstep and tell you what you can and cannot do, you know, that's ridiculous. You're not free. When we have to bend down and kiss the IRS, who've been caught also in all their crimes, you know, that's going too far too. So really,
what even get somebody to come out. We just recently had to put in a new air conditioner, and we were told by the company that installed the air conditioner, now you're going to have to call the city and have them come over and inspect to make sure that it was done correctly so that it will be according to city standards. And I'm thinking, what? Everything. You need a license or an inspection for everything that you do, supposedly on your own property that you own. Our house is paid for. We supposedly own our home. But not really, because the minute you don't pay taxes, they can come in and take everything. Are you there?
I am, but I'm muted there. My husband walked out. We live in an RV, so now if you hear sounds.
Oh, okay.
You know, I've asked him before, and it was really difficult during those, like, anywhere from 12 to 14-hour marathons. He does have to eat every day. And the kitchen is right behind me, the refrigerator, right here. And so if you hear noises in the background, that's my wonderful husband getting something for himself to eat. But it's insane. Everything is just topsy-turvy. And so finally, after asking other people, well, what would you do, you know, and talking to other friends of mine, I realized I'm not going to wait any longer for permission. I've had it. I've had it with all this crap. I'm taking a stand on my own. And I tell you, I've gone from feeling like, oh, well, maybe I'm doing something wrong, to taking back my power, and I feel real, real good about it. So now where I'm going to go so that people can keep up with me here. Okay, this is from sourcewatch.org, and so I will put this also in the chat room. Because more and more, you know, we listen to all the malfeasance. Oh, yeah, it's horrible. All these credit card companies are doing this. And, oh, but I better pay, because if I don't pay, they're going to raise my rate. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's this from this. These are some of the crimes that these companies, these too big to fails. And also, before I read this, just consider what that money that they can print out of nothing would have done in terms of the housing crisis, in terms of the environment, in terms of the poverty right here in this country, had we been focused on the highest good instead of eliminating and destroying people. The fact that our money goes to even create white phosphorus and flechette bullets makes me physically ill. Okay, so crimes. Predatory, deceptive, and abusive lending related to mortgages. Securities fraud, including creating investment vehicles designed to fail. Think about derivatives there. Accounting fraud, brokerage fraud, bribery of government officials, undisclosed conflict of interest in financial analysis and advice, lying to shareholders and investors, robbing consumers with abusive overdraft fees, robbing homeowners by overcharging them hundreds or thousands of dollars when they are already in bankruptcy and foreclosure, robo-signing of false affidavits and other legal documents, discriminatory lending practices. These are the people we are paying our money to. And the trader, Eric Holder, also said in March of 2013, he said, quote, "I am concerned that the size of some of these institutions becomes so large that it does become difficult for us to prosecute them when we are hit with indications that if you do prosecute, if you do bring a criminal charge, it will have a negative impact on the national economy, perhaps even the world economy. And I think that is a function of the fact that some of these institutions have become too large." And that's bullcrap, if I ever heard bullcrap. And he's another one who's implicated in drug running, in gun running, and in a lot of these other heinous crimes that we overlook because we're too damn busy kissing the ring and paying our fines to hold these frackers accountable.
Exactly.
Okay, now a list of some of these banks. Okay, a national mortgage settlement was approximately $25 billion from February of 2012. Initiated by Securities and Exchange Committee and 49 states' attorney generals. This grew out of the federal and state investigations, which found that the country's five largest mortgage services routinely signed foreclosure-related documents outside of the presence of a notary republic and without knowing whether the facts they contained were correct. Both of these practices violate the law. The five leading institutions being held responsible are Ally, GMAC, Bank of America, Citibank, JP Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo. These five banks are supposed to provide at least $25 billion in consumer relief. At least $17 billion is supposed to be used to reduce the principal to millions of homeowners who are behind on their mortgage payments or facing foreclosure. And another $3 billion should have been used to help homeowners refinance if they are underwater, because they owe more than their homes are currently worth. These are the people we're paying. And I don't know about you, Deanna, but I have heard numerous charges. I even have a friend of mine, unfortunately, whose family lost their home, which was owned by Deutsche Bank in California, where Deutsche Bank did not even have the legal right to own property in California. And yet they ended up being tossed out. So this is what we're doing. And last month, through a mistake, I've been paying my bills for years, but getting more and more upset about where the money's going. And last month, just as a mistake, we did make a mistake after paying one card as well and getting my little number there, my confirmation number that I've paid my account, and then they hold on to that so that if you're not really on top of what you have in your bank, you get a balance that reflects that you've got more money in your bank because the bank that was supposed to take your money, that gave you the confirmation number, has not yet reached into your account. And, oh gosh, in this day and age of 2014, they can't communicate with each other and put a hold on that money immediately. So instead, I start getting calls about bouncing the payment. And this is within maybe a week or so afterwards. And it's like, wait a minute. And then I had to find out about the different fines that have been tagged on me by my own local bank here of like $36.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And so I just started to put two and two together. And finally, I reached the point where I no longer cared about getting advice from any of my friends, many of whom are much more well-educated than I am in the system, which I don't give a flying frack about. It feels good to say that, too, I have to admit. But why would I be upset about a criminal, corrupt, proven criminal, corrupt organization who have been paying fines? Why would I care what the hell they thought about my credit rating? Because all I'm doing is propping them up.
Sure.
And why would I even pay them to begin with? So I decided that, okay, let me talk to Citibank then, because I'm not going to continue to do this. And some of us who, for one reason or another, have been unable to make the bills and the calls start coming in, you get that feeling in the pit of your stomach like you're a little child in school and the principal's just called you out and you've done
exactly
something wrong.
That is the way that they want you to feel. And I... just to reiterate, I remember the first home that my husband, my former husband, and I purchased. We were so worried that, oh, what if they don't give us a loan? I hope that we apply for. I hope that we can do this. I hope that we can get this loan. When in fact they're just waiting to get their hooks into everybody that approaches them for a loan. They have us on the defense. From the minute, yes, yes,
they do. And so instead of feeling like that, I finally started doing my homework. You know, I went to this page and I went to some other pages. And I've got, again, if you look at my blog page, there are a lot of different links that you can go to. But I finally thought, you know, I'm not going to be afraid of these criminals. Mm-hmm. I refuse to be. So... it is a shakedown. And also, they've been paid. This TARP money was our money, and it could have gone to cleaning up our environment and also to releasing the hidden technology that they have hidden from us. The militant industrial complex actually holds all of us right now as prisoners of war. And one thing that Susan said that I hope was incorrect, but Susan Lindauer also mentioned that those damn Israelis can override all of our nuclear weapons, and they can activate them at any time they want. So we're also held hostage that way. But we are all prisoners of war, if you really want to look at it. And we have the mercenaries who are coming on every front, the local police who should be ostracized in their communities for these crimes that they can walk away from.
Mm-hmm.
We know where they live. And these murderers and these people who are criminals, because they also, now when you want to become a policeman, they're not taking people with IQs and morality. They're taking the cream of the crap. And the people in uniforms are bullies who are, they should be shunned in public. They should not be allowed to come into a restaurant. They should not be allowed to shop at your stores. And we should stop shopping at all of the big stores. And we're going to have enough money, too, when we stop paying these bills.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, I had had enough. I've done my research. I've been sending out emails. If anyone wants to be on my email list, because I wasn't even sure I was going to do anything for a while. But if you are interested, it's my name, Karen, S as in Sheila, Q as in Quinn, T as in Tostado, @gmail.com. So that's Karen, SQT, @gmail.com. Okay, also I see here a note about the CAFR funds. Yeah, here's another way that they're fooling us. All governments have money, hidden accounts. Also, when you take out a debt, the money didn't even exist until we decided that we needed to use it. And the bank's job was simply to hand us over what we had created, because they enter it on their negative books and they also enter it on their positive books, which should cancel it out right then and there. So finally, I had had it. And also, we know that our money is not backed up by anything except corruption. So I answered the phone when this 800 number rang, and I sat down very calmly, and I spoke with Keisha, and I simply said to her, and I will read this because people can use this letter too. I said, "Your records will substantiate that I have been a creditor in good standing with your company for a number of years. However, the ongoing revelations of your continuing crimes is cause for great concern and an immediate termination of any contract you may think you have on my behalf. You have paid billions of dollars in fines, are currently involved in a number of legal cases filed against you, and are heavily underwater now in more derivatives to the tune of almost $60 trillion. So these banks who have taken the TARP money and the Leave No Banker Behind bonus stimulus package have taken our money. They've given themselves huge bonuses, which is also something you can look up, millions of dollars. This small group of evil, lying, inbred, traitorous eugenicists are parasitic vampires." So anyway, so Keisha's silent, because I'm not ranting or raving.
Mm-hmm.
Then I said, "Citigroup has paid fines for predatory, deceptive and abusive lending related to mortgages, securities fraud, including creating investment vehicles designed to fail." Well, this is what I read earlier of the crime. So then I said, "I am outraged by your malfeasance and acceptance of trillions of dollars of taxpayer money, which you continue to use to further your crimes. I have no obligation to pay a corrupt organization who also has ties to financing terrorism. Instead, it is my duty as a moral individual to refuse to help finance or participate in any way in your crimes against humanity. I also have the right to hold personally accountable those individuals who choose to act as representatives of your mafia shakedown syndicate and who call to harass, threaten, intimidate, or otherwise impede my activities and try to get me to be an accomplice to your crimes." And she was quiet.
I bet she was.
Yeah. And it felt great, Deanna.
Yes, so you felt empowered.
Totally empowered. And good about myself, and actually looking forward to the next call I get, because I have a couple more credit cards. I'm going to do exactly the same. Now, she told me that what I should do is to write them a hard copy. I said, "Well, can I email it?" And she gave me an address, which I was so excited I wrote down, and now I have to find it. But I said, "Well, what do you personally think about this?" And she said, "Well, as a representative of the corporation, I can't comment. But I think my next conversation, not only will I ask that question, I'll say, well, that you are an accomplice to these crimes and you are trying to make me an accomplice. How does that make you feel about your job? And how many of these jobs exist? And how would you feel about really living your life and focusing, trying to collect from the people who really owe us, like, the Obamas, who have had how many vacations on our money, and these other people
started on
exactly." So anyway, she said also if I mailed them and I asked them to stop calling, they would. I'll tell you what, Deanna, the phone has not rung since that time.
Because you caught on and because you called them for what they were?
Yeah, well, they called me, so I responded. But so far, and so I'm also kind of waiting because, yeah, she told me to send a hard copy, but I'm curious to wait and see, okay, what's going to come in the mail, and then at least they can pay for the envelope that I fire back my copy of all these crimes in. And it felt absolutely wonderful and empowering because I do not care what credit rating the mafia to give me. They are not.
Yes, who are they to judge us?
Exactly.
Who are they to give us a rating? Who do they think they are?
and it's exactly time to call them on the table. And that's why I am so hoping that finally this may be the idea whose time has come, and a great aha moment for millions of people. The 15th is tomorrow.
Yes.
Imagine what would happen. And again, I think taking action on the same day is so much more powerful because it shows up in profit loss. And in a world where profit is above people, we cannot allow this to stand if we want any kind of lives for our children. Regardless of where we think we go when we die, we have an obligation to those who come after us to not leave them with this huge mess that we are currently leaving them with. If we demanded by non-payment that the first thing we need to demand is an end to these wars of central banking. We need to have all of our troops sent home. And parents ought to also think about suing the government and refusing to allow their children to be taken on false pretenses because they were lied into this.
Mm-hmm.
They're chewed up and spit out if they survive. None of them come back the way they were. And we condone torture and murder and drones. And it is all an abomination that I feel so strongly about. Every day I know that people die, and it's part of my money through hidden taxes, and I resent the hell out of that. And the only way that I can live with that is to do something about it. And also, there is a Hawaiian healing practice of Ho'oponopono, and it has become a mantra to me, very much so, because I'm sorry that I am unable to stop these wars. You know, forgive me for not being able to do more and to help those innocents who died. And thank you for knowing that I'm trying. And I love you because I know that we are one.
Exactly.
So I repeat that. That helps me to sleep at night because I am being accountable. And I am also honoring those people who have been blown to bits, who we will never even know their names. And they had no chance of participating in babies and children in this false reality that needs to fall and fail. So when some traitor like Holder says, oh, the global economic, everything will be threatened. Well, what about the local economy?
Yes.
Where Joe Smith will fail to pay his bills and his family will be kicked out because of fraud? I think that in all this time, too, when I've been talking about strikes, which, again, would be so good, and people, please go also and check out the video page. There are video pages that will take you and show you about the Pullman strike and other strikes of great note, where you will see it's the government who comes in. But instead of looking at it being the government, it's you and me, because mm-hmm. we need jobs and we put on the uniform, and then we can't live with ourselves later and we have miserable lives. And we need peace, and we need it immediately. And one of the ways that we can get that is to refuse to pay these criminals, refuse to pay any fraudulent debt, and begin to work with our neighbors and take care of things locally. And then we can have administrators. We can rotate jobs. And all the bullshit jobs that shouldn't exist, like Wall Street, how many homeless people could live in those buildings? How many homeless people could live in these federal buildings? And they could warm themselves, in my opinion, by burning the voluminous logs of retroactive laws and crap we've been forced to deal with forever, and stepping into true self-ownership, non-aggression, voluntary cooperation, honorable defense of our planet, which is being murdered and dies a little bit more every day, and moral stewardship.
Indeed. I hope that we can all do that. In fact, I encourage everyone who has any kind of indebtedness at all to do the exact same thing that Karen has done. And if even 100 people do that, if even 50 people do that, 50 people will feel empowered, and it will make a dent. Now, I know that you think that, okay, that's very small. But it reminds me, and we've talked about starfish already, reminds me of the story about the young girl that was going along the beach, and she was picking up these starfish that had been brought in with the tide and throwing them back out into the ocean. And somebody said, well, you can't, there's nothing you can do about it because there's so many. And she says, well, I saved one. And that one, just saving one.
Yes, yes.
Is better than none.
Because
you have to do something.
And it's such a big, huge picture. And when you look at Japan, it's so hard to know what is going on with the nuclear radiation because, you know, months ago and last year they were talking about having to move the fuel rods. And if it touched the side, oh, it would blow and it was a horrible thing. And yes, I'm sure that it is. But they've experienced at least two earthquakes that were there, a couple of little tsunamis. And we don't know what is going on other than the fact that this radioactive water is pouring into the ocean at millions of gallons a day. And water is so important. Deanna, I have come to believe that water truly is the mind of God. Water has memory. Are you familiar with the work of Dr. Emoto?
No, I'm not.
Dr. Emoto took beakers of water and he wrote words and taped them to the water, like love, hate, different things like that. Mm-hmm. And then he would freeze it, and he would take just a little microscopic drop of that water, and he would look at it under a microscope. There's information on this also on some of the video pages, I think the consciousness video page.
Mm-hmm.
And when he looked at the water that had been blessed or prayed over or that said love or that had some of the classics, Beethoven and some of the beautiful symphonies played behind it,
mm-hmm.
were beautiful crystal snowflakes and just amazingly clear, beautiful individual expressions of joy and beauty and health and life. And the water that said hatred or, you know, you make me sick or they played heavy metal music on was distorted. And it was black and brackish. Water holds memory.
Yes. And that if you put water into the microwave, water is living. And if you put it in the microwave, it kills it. If you water plants with microwaved water, the plants will die. When I had my studio set up and I was in my studio when I was doing quilts and doing my artistic quilt making, I had a lot of plants in there. I would talk to them every day. I communicated with them every day. I talked to them when I watered them. They were all vibrant and wonderful, and because I was loving them every day, and they grew. Now that I'm not in my studio every day, the plants have just kind of withered. I mean, I used to have wonderful African violets that bloomed and just, I mean, they were just full of blooms. Plants are, well, we're 75% water.
Anywhere between 70 to 90% water
mm-hmm.
during our lives. And so we've
yeah.
been told that, you know, we're temples of the Holy Spirit. Well, what if we are really also temples of holy water?
Yeah.
And we don't bless our water. And like we were speaking earlier, Deanna, about the chemtrails, they're desiccating not only all the living things in our ecosystem, but our bodies as well. And to me, this points to our own divine connection. And there are other experiments. There was a Russian experiment where they had a beaker of water in the middle of the room, and they had, I think, four or five scientists who went over to take a droplet back and look at it, and everyone was different. There's something about our energy and our interaction with the water that changes it. And there are also experiments that Dr. Emoto has done where people 500 pray over water and focus their intention, and the water is healed. Now, water,
wow.
Yes. So that's when, again, when we talk about, okay, what is God and what do we need? Well, if you poison our water, you also are yanking that divine umbilical cord, and you're messing with the frequency. They're fracking our frequency on every level imaginable. So in considering that, in considering that when we're born now, if you're not right there with your baby, making sure that they don't inject them with vaccines that include a vaccine for hepatitis, like, oh yeah, this little baby who's only, you know, 5 minutes old, we got to worry because that baby's going to be out there having sex at any time.
Sure.
You know, and all these numerous vaccines that attack it, and the CNN and the CDC being caught in lying about the connection between autism and vaccines, which is increased by over 380%. They want our water. They want to poison us on every level. And so also when people are living in the city and they get water, there's a movie, I think, Water, the Great Mystery, or The Great Mystery Water. Again, I believe it's on the consciousness page. But when you force water at high pressure through all these different right angles, it's a form of torture for the water, because by the time it comes out of your faucet, it is dead water.
Wow.
So most of us are also drinking dead water. We're not honoring the water within ourselves or the water around us, nor are we respecting or honoring that divine essence which breathes life into all of us, regardless of what name we choose to call it. And so in my opinion, it is time now to take our power back, and I am hoping to be inspirational to people with this, because we have the moral high ground.
Just a quick question relative to credit card debt. Someone asked, you were talking about your credit card. That is why you called into the bank. And this person says, how much credit card debt does she have?
Well, now, my husband told me that he didn't want me to really talk about our personal deal, but I'll tell you, it's not huge. It's not huge. It's less.
Any amount. Any amount.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter how much or how little. If you have any credit card debt at all, I don't know how much interest they charge.
It's ridiculous. It's like 21%, or then the 29%, and then they've got fines and fees and other things, and it just, at every turn, they're trying to frighten you, and usually, you know, they're calling up and they're angry, and it's very interesting to me, Deanna, that, not one time has a phone rang for that credit card, and now I'm going to wait and let the other ones call me as well.
Sure.
I'm not going to be afraid of them, and it's wonderful. It is absolutely wonderful, and Keisha was very quiet. What can you do when you're actually faced with the evidence of criminal activity and you're the one picking up the phone to call people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to be planting seeds also with as many people as I'm going to end up speaking with, and I'll speak with whoever wants to talk to me. And I've also gone beyond being afraid of these evil, lying, inbred, traitorous eugenicists, because this is, I'm hoping this is so common sense that, you know, you're not going to pay a bribe unless they come in and they beat the hell out of you, which is usually how they do it. They take us down individually, but we can frack back and we can do it in numbers. And if we do that, we can also say, no, you're a criminal, and I want the militant industrial complex to release the hidden technology so we can stop fracking for energy, because free energy does exist.
Of course it does.
And it's hidden. We're just all prisoners of war, are we not?
Exactly. The other thing, too, that I've done for quite some time is we get a lot of calls for donations to this and that, to the Cancer Society, and I do have my animal, I PETA, and I do give money to those groups.
Oh, PETA's horrible. Deanna, research
PETA.
I
just do it for the animals. But
it doesn't get to the animals.
I know.
And they're not saying anything about Fukushima, not one word.
Exactly.
They didn't say one word about the Gulf. If you want to help animals, do it at your local shelter.
Sure.
Give them the money,
PETA. I'll go to the local shelter and I'll just say, come on, guys, come home with me.
And that's the way, too. But the money that you would send PETA.
You're right. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But you see, they get you through your emotions.
Mind games and correspondence and privately
owned
media.
They get you through emotions. If you'll just give us $10 a month, you can save this cute little kitten.
Or this child in Africa who's been kept on life support for their resources.
And I'm thinking, look, you're there filming this kid. Why don't you help the kid? But whenever I get a call like this, I say, take me off your list. And, you know, we get calls from all kinds of organizations, from the cancer organization. You realize how many years the cancer organization, I don't know what they even call it, has been getting money. I mean, they've collected millions and millions and millions of dollars, and yet people still suffer, supposedly, from cancer.
Because they don't allow the cures. Hemp oil cures cancer.
Of course.
So, yeah, and when you call it like a community cancer center, well, what does that say? Let's see. Community cancer center. Let me go there to get cancer. No, as a matter of fact, and now if I were you as well, I would start educating the people who called. You know, okay, do you know that cancer is curable? Do you know that this, and, you know, and whenever I go to the store and they have that damn pink thing up there from the pink women.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, and they're also Israeli backed. And they actually came up with here's a pink ribbon on your Kentucky Fried Chicken. Oh yeah, this is going to help. When actually that kind of crap will give you cancer. And they also are taking money. I forget, I just read another article where they're taking money. Everybody wants money to do different things. And you know what really is irritating too? If they wanted to help people, instead of sending money to a place, and instead of dropping soldiers in to kill people, we drop teams of carpenters and electricians into these war zones, you know, without bombing them and give them nails and boards. And we, you know, can you imagine what teams would do?
With the reason that they bomb them, the reason that the U.S. military is so that their embedded corporations, we bomb the heck out, well, I shouldn't say we, they bomb the heck out of a country, and then they give all of the rebuilding contracts to the corporations.
Halliburton. Yep.
Who pay the politicians. They
bribe.
Give the politicians great big campaign donations. It's just a scam,
a big scam. That's why we have to stop it, and we have to start taking our power back. Also, you know, we dropped the ball many times in the past, and one of them was actually allowing phone companies to start putting recordings on instead of immediately hanging up and demanding those jobs for real people.
Yes.
You know, and keeping them in here. And Mer Bailey, you've put some great information in there. I like the links and stuff. And don't answer the phone. Now, that's how I felt at first, but frack 'em. I'm looking forward now to answering my phone. You have no idea how much I'm looking forward to it. And Deanna, I wanted to do one other thing, if you will allow me. I'm looking at the time here. Because I know a lot of this can sound real negative. And when you do look I cannot think of one place in our environment that has not been infiltrated and corrupted by these lying sacks. So when you see that, truly, I cannot overstate how important it is to take action and to do it now. And for those of you who are on Facebook and other social networks, I am not. I do enough work on my own. I can get sucked into the computer and stay for hours, and I was doing that for years there when I first started United We Strike. For a good 5 years, I was on a computer 7 days a week, anywhere from only a few hours to like 12, 13, 14 hours,
mm-hmm.
trying so hard. I called up every station I could in 2009. In January, I spoke straight for like 4 months trying to get people to strike on April 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And I've since been trying to do it, and I know that people have thought, oh, well, she believes this, I can't go for, I'm not going to believe that. And I've never wanted to be in front of people. I've wanted to be side by side, shoulder to shoulder,
mm-hmm.
working with them, and to begin also to break out of what we think we know and to start looking at quantum physics, which tells us there's no empty space, to look
mm-hmm.
at the miracle of water. And the water that has resonated with me so much, if you would allow me, I would like to share my water prayer. Because
please.
I take, and I also work with crystals. I have.
Yeah, you said that. I like crystals too. I have a crystal that I got in Paris that several years ago, and it's right next to my computer. It's got magic in it.
You know, they do, and I have now a little booth. I take the crystals, but I made jewelry for years, and I use wire and other crystals to make them little sculptures in light and frequency and energy. And when those rainbows hit, I tell people to understand they are the heroes of their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
We are the instruments through which miracles flow. Many believe miracles to be a sign from God, and that there are predictions from the Hopi and the Zuni and other indigenous tribes that when the earth most needs us, people of all ages and creeds and colors will unite to create a better world. And that's what I want them to really embrace. And it's much easier than talking about all the politics and the corruption. And I just want to be simple. You know, I'm not tied to anything written down on a piece of paper on my behalf hundreds of years ago by people I never knew. You know, I am accountable right here and right now. And as long as I'm not causing harm, injury, or loss, then, and I'm helping people, then that's better. And if I don't have mine set up, Deanna, but if people want to see, I was hosting on Wide Awake News for a while. And if you go to wideawakenews.com and the host bio page, I'm pretty sure there are some pictures of my crystals that are still up there.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's great fun. I can also put some individually into your Skype, but I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of locally, and I'm doing individual work with people on custom orders for colors and prices, and I started $10. You know, so I'm having a great time and feeling so much better when I wake up and see rainbows.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
It is, and I have real crystals around. I'll tell you something else that's an amazing thing, Deanna. I have real crystals around now as well. And what is just, and I'm getting chills now too, that it's a sign something's happening. I love rainbows. And some of the crystals that I have acquired that did not have rainbows before have them now.
Incredible.
Something I'm doing, some part of my energy is interacting there, and I take it as a sign that I am on the right road.
Mm-hmm.
And so now this is when I go down to the river, too. I go down there with a friend of mine. We sit there. We're quiet. We take our crystals down. We put them in the water.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I sing to the water. And also, I guess this goes back to as well to my religious roots. So you can see that even though I don't necessarily believe that Jesus actually existed, I do believe very much in my connection to that greater energy.
Mm-hmm.
Father, you are present everywhere. Mother Earth, you ground me to your majesty and miracles. Holy water, I am your daughter. Thank you for the gifts you've given me. Thank you for the water which is life and holds her memory. Holy water, I am your daughter. Thank you for returning to the essence of your purity. I usually sing it a little higher, and I don't have the caffeine that gives me quite the vibrato, but you get the message.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that is my part of fracking back, of holding my energy, of holding the space, of honoring those who I am not able to prevent from the harm that is being perpetrated by this manufactured world, and also by trying to do the best I can to help. And so, okay, there's one other quick one I will try here if the voice holds out this morning, but this is also how I feel. I will be a source of certainty within the sea of confusion. I'll stand tall. The waves won't make me fall. I've seen through it all. It's an illusion. We were all meant to be living our lives joyously, exploring all our majesty. And when enough of us know it, we are free. We are free. We are free.
That is wonderful. You know, we always hear about all of the problems. Today you have given us some solutions. I feel I feel empowered. I think, hey, why would I send my money out of the community to animals that I will never see?
Yay.
I will go over to the local shelter and give them some money and maybe some hours of my time.
There you go.
And really feel like I'm doing something. So thank you for giving us some solutions, some things that we can all do. We can all do this stuff. Instead of just listening to the problems, we have now some solutions thanks to our guest today. And thank you so much for being on the program today. It's been wonderful. It's been a joy to have you, to speak with you. And I feel kind of a shared, I don't know.
We are soul sisters.
Yeah, we always were.
Yes.
And I don't know, we just kind of went and did our own thing. But yeah, that feeling's back. That certainly is.
Thank you so much.
It's
my hope to be just an inspiration and the best messenger I can be for a message who I believe the time has come. But it's not up to me. It's up to us.
Thank you. I love you, Deanna.
Thank you.
I love you, too. Thank you. Bye-bye. Goodbye, listeners. Join me next time we're here.
Yeah.
Thank
Namaste.
You. Yes, absolutely. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
It starts with you and me.
It starts with you.